Okay, today's daf is daf kuf, and we were holding already down, about a quarter of the way down. Actually, about a third of the way down. At the Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan ha'evid v'isha ein chokim lehem truma bebet agranot, v'mokam shechokim notim lishat chilo potrim otam miyad. So first of all, the Brisa says, we do not give an evid and a woman truma in the Beit HaGranot, which we learned about yesterday. And in a place where they do, the woman is always given first, which of course, the whole thing makes no sense. First you say you don't do it, and then you say, and where you do it, Maika Omar, what is he saying? Halchik Omar. What he means is like this. B'makom shechokim ma'aser ani. In a place where they're giving out ma'aser ani in the house, and they're not giving it out in the goren. So over there, that's done in private in order that the aniyim should not be embarrassed. Rabbeinu Tam actually explains here that there's two different types of Maaser Ani, in which Maaser Ani b'toch habayit and his Maaser Ani b'toch hagranot are two different situations. The Maaser Ani b'toch habayit is talking about the Mikseh Shalosh Shanim Totzi at the end now of the 3 years, Erev HaPesach. So over there, where it says, Yinachta b'sha'arecha, just mash, we have to leave it in the Goren, and the Aniyim come and they take it. On the other hand, it says in the end of the 3 years, Venatata, which is much the Balabait gives it out. So in other words, we say until Pesach, which is the time of the rains, and if you would leave it outside, it would end up being ruined. So over there, you take it to your house and give it out. That's called Maaser Ani, that's Mitchalek Petoch HaBayit. And on that, it says Netina, that the Balabait should give. But from Pesach onwards, which is the Zman of Biur, over there you leave it out in the Goren in order that there shouldn't be embarrassment to the Aniyim. There it's not called giving, and there's no din of Chalukah. The Aniyim come and take themselves. So what the Brice over here means is that in a time where you're being mechalik it, meaning that you're giving it out in the house, so there, of course, you give to a woman as well. And in a home, we don't have the same chashot of yichud and so on. It's in the middle of the city. And there's no way in the middle of a city that people wouldn't have heard if she is divorced and so on. And so Memeva there, what he's saying is, Notim Lisha Tchila, we give her first, we don't want a woman to wait around. My time is Shem Ziluta. It is improper and a bizoyan for a woman to have to sit around and wait. A woman always goes first, ladies first. Omar Rava Mireisha Kaviyatu Gavravit Tavadina Kamoi. Before I learned this, when a man and a woman would both come for a din, my bezdin, I would always sharina tigra de gavabrish, I would always say gentleman first, because I mean adem chayve b'mitzvahs. I felt that since men are chayve mitzvahs more than they have more mitzvahs, and therefore they will end up being mitzvato for mitzvahs if I leave them waiting here in my waiting room, so I don't want to keep them. But then, so I always went for the men first. But given the Shamina Lahai, after I've heard this Brisa, I changed the way that I would act, and I always, Shamina Tigra Dita Tabaresh, always finished up the din that involves a woman first, in order that a woman shouldn't be in a state of bizoyan, that she should have to be sitting around and waiting in a public waiting room. My time, Amishum Zibluta. The next thing we learned in the mission is that if the Tarovet grows up, and the two, we don't know which one is the prince and which one is the pauper, we don't know which one is the Kohen and which one is the Eved, so then, if they gave each other a get shichur, well, what does that mean, if? What do you mean, it's up to them to give a get shichur? Why don't we force them to give a get shichur? Lisa Shivchai no yochol, bat chorine no yochol. We said that until they do so, they're not going to be able to get married at all. We even make an owner, who is an owner of a half of an Eved, because they were owned by Shutva, so one Eved, one Shutva freed the Eved, the other half of the Eved is still an Eved, they can't get married. Because of this problem, being unable to get married, we force to get Shichur from an owner who is uninvolved with law. So Koshkin over here, the two of them should be forced to give a get Shichur to each other. Omar Rava says, Rava, no, indeed. Ema kofino tonu mishachrim, as I said. The correct way of understanding the Mishnah is when they are mishachrim. I mean, when we will force them to be mishachrim. And then, notim aleim v'chumri kohanim v'chumri yisraelim, l'may yuchata, in what sense are we giving the chomer at the end of the Mishnah? Omar of Papa, this is talking about if the two svekot bring a carbon mincha. Since the din of a carbon mincha of a coin is different than a minchas yisrael, a minchas yisrael, the carbon has kmitz and the rest of it is eaten, and a minchas coin is brought kuloi to the yishim, and it has no din of the Kemitz and Shirayim. So what we do is we take off the Kemitz because we're afraid that he's a Yisrael, so it requires Kemitz. But the rest of it, the Shirayim, is in an Echelet Kimchat Kohanim. It has the Chumra of Minchas Kohanim, and we can't eat any of it, because after all, Minchas Kohanim is Kalil Toktar, has to be brought up entirely. Okay, it's not a Kometz Karov Ba'atzmo. We bring up the Kometz by itself. Ashirayim Krevim Ba'atzmo. We bring up the Shirayim separately, and they're not eaten. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? How can you bring up the Shirayim if you're not sure whether they're kosher for the Mizbeach? Ikri Khan, what about the Pasuk that we should read over here and apply? Lo taktiru bimenu ish el Hashem. And we learn from there, lo taktiru kosher bimenu Hashem. Lo kosher bimenu ishim. Where you took off something and brought it onto the Mizbeach, the rest of it becomes Shirayim and Ariel about taktiru. You're not allowed to be marked here the rest of it. Hom rebutu b'redu b'shum imen pazi to masik lo l'shum etzim. What you do is you put the Shirayim on the Mizbeach with the understanding that if this guy indeed is not a Kohen, and that therefore these are Shirayim, these things are being put basically as fuel on the Mizbeach, and not as Akhtar on the Mizbeach, which follows Rabbi Elazar, the Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer. Elazar says that in a case we have a Korban Chatas that we got mixed up with the Evorim of a Korban Oiva, so according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no problem. What you can do is, because here we're going to be another case where we already brought up the Emurim, and the rest of the Evarim of the Chatas are also to bring up. So he says, because it says, L'reach Nichoach, that Pasuk says, do not bring up on the Mizbeach, kol min chatzah, tugrev la'ashem, lo taseh chametz, kol tzor v'chot vash, lo taktir mimenu isheh la'ashem, korban reishis, takrivo otom la'ashem, v'la mizbeach, lo ya'alu l'reach Nichoach, which tells me, l'reach Nichoach, you're not allowed to bring them up. But that's only with the intent to bring it as a korban. But you could certainly bring it up, not l'reach nichoach. You could bring it up as a piece of wood that it should be basically just fuel on the mizbeach. So well, okay, that's an etz according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that there's such thing as a shem etzim. But according to the Rabbanan, who hold that even if you bring it up to shem etzim, it's a big etzer, ma'ikel amimah. And says the Gemara, well, the thing to say according to Rabbanan is David like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. You could do what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon suggested, the Tanya. He's talking about a case where Kohen, Tame, who got him into the Beis HaMikdash, has to bring a Minchas Chayte. And now that din has on it the special chumras of both Yisraelim and Kohanim. Okay, this is the sugya as it evolves in Menachas, so that it's a bit complicated for here, but that's the idea. It has both chumras, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and what do you do in such a case? We have to take off a kemetz. A kemetz torbli atzma v'shirayim mitpazmei obet adeshen. What you do is you don't put the shirayim on the mizbeach. You put it on the bet adeshen, which is next to the mizbeach, and therefore the iser does not apply. V'afilo rabban, even the rabban who over there, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, not like him. And they hold you put the shirayim on the mizbeach itself, and you're not allowed to stamp poor shirayim mincha the beis hadeshen. Lo pligi alei the rabbi Elazar b'shirayim elu mincha schreite shakani the bas akravei. They learn that that's specifically talking about a mincha schreite where clearly it's a kohen, and that's the there's vadachi of a vakrova, and there's only the halacha of requiring mitzvah of halacha where we have a suffix where it's not a maybe it's not a bnei akrova at all because it could be. A Yisraelis, there are few Rabbonim, the Rabbonim also agree that that is the correct Eitzan. Zakta Eilek Mishnah. Mi Shalosh Atach Arba Alash Shalosh Chodashim. As we had before, where we had a woman who was married and he dies or he gives her a get and she doesn't wait 3 months between his death and the next person who lives with her. So there we have a problem that any child is going to be a suffix of the Rishon and a suffix of the Rachron, which is why we want her always to wait 3 months. This woman didn't wait, and instead, when he said she goes and marries somebody else right away, V'yalda, and she gives birth. And now we don't know whether her pregnancy was caused by the first husband or the second husband. V'ini Yodea, we have no idea now whether the child that was born is actually a son of the first one, born 9 months from the time that she got pregnant, Ben Tisha L'Rishon, or whether the reason that it's born early, maybe that it still is the Achrons, but it's been Shiva Achron. It's a 7-month baby. Remember that they had a 7-month gestation. And we don't know what to do. Hoyula, and besides this particular child, the woman has children from her first husband, the Ravadai, first husband, and she has children from her second husband, the Ravadai, children from the second husband. And in this case, the guy who we're not sure is from the first to the second goes, gets married, dies without children, his wife requires Yibum, and we now have another case in which we have a suffix, who are the brothers? So in this case, the children of the first and the children of the second do Chalitza and not Yibum, because maybe the brothers from the first are considered to be not Achim Min Ha'av, because he may be the son of the second one, and if they are Achim Min Ha'em, the Yavam is always going to be a Surah to them as an Isser Koris. And the second one has the same problem. Maybe they're not brothers from a father. Maybe they're brothers from the mother. And therefore it's us. So there's no way that they can ever do Yibum here because they're always going to be Mesopic. And therefore, there is no din of Yibum, only din of Chalitza. V'chein hu lahem. The same thing would be true if one of the brothers, one of the Vadai children of the first one or of the second one, goes ahead, marries, and dies without children. And now the brother that's available is only that brother that's Mesopic, if he's a brother Menahem or a brother Menahav. He, too, that suffix, obviously, is Cholitz Melomiyabi for the same reason, because it may be an Isser Koris, and he may be a brother from a mother alone. Now, Hayulo, let's say this one was a suffix, Ben Tishel Rishon Shiva L'Achrin, Hayulo Achim Min HaRishon. Let's say that he has brothers from the first husband of his mother. In other words, that there are other sons, and he now has brothers. Ve'achim min hasheni, and he also, she had more sons with the second husband, and now, if he is the ben hasheni, then he has these brothers. Shalom mi'otaha'im, and these brothers are not from his mother. They are from other women that were married to the first husband, and they were married to the second husband. Now, one of those brothers goes ahead, gets married, and dies without children, and the only one that is left to him now to do the Yibum is the Suffolk brother. And the reason that the Mishnah uses brothers, even though it's a single brother, Tosu says that it's talking about over here a case where there were brothers, they all died, and therefore the Yavamu was sort of the shuk, and now the question is only the Gabi his mitzvah of Yibum. So now what does he do? The suffix can, in this case, be either Cholitz or Miyabim, because in this case, if he is indeed from the same father, so he was being Mekayim mitzvah Yibum. If he's not from the same father, then he's not a brother at all, because, and there's no Isser of Yavamu the shuk. There's no other brother here. So therefore, there is no problem of his doing either Chalitz or Yibum. V'heim, the brother now of the Suffolk, if after the Suffolk goes ahead and gets married, he dies without children, Echad, one of those brothers from the first husband and the second husband, can do Chalitza, and one can do Yibum. So in other words, as long as the brother of the Suffolk from the first husband goes ahead and does now Chalitza, so then the brother from the second one can go ahead now and do Yibum, and vice versa. Because in this case, if he's a brother from the father, then there's no problem. And if not, then the mother was totally unrelated to him in any event, on either side, because in this case, each husband married another woman and had children. And therefore, over here, there would be no problem. And since Chalitza was done, there's also no problem of the Yisra of Yavam and Ashuk. Haya Echad Yisrael. Let's say one of the husbands of this woman was a Yisrael. Ve'echad Kohen, one of them was a Kohen. And we don't know now whether he's the son of a Kohen or the son of a Yisrael. No say Yisharu Uyala Kohen. Obviously, he cannot marry a Grush or a Chalutza or anybody that is also to a Kohen. Ve'en Metame Lameitim. And he has to keep L'chumra, the dinim of Tumah. If he does go on his Matame, because maybe he's not a kohen. We can't give him an onish misafik. You know, ochel betruma. Furthermore, he can't eat truma. Maybe he's a Yisrael, but if he did eat, imachalinu mashalim keren v'chomesh, because maybe he is a kohen. And how are we going to make him pay miasafik? Hamotzimichavel of araya. We do not give him truma al hagoren because he's not allowed, because of a suffix, to eat truma. He does sell whatever truma he does have himself. He doesn't have to give it to a kohen. Only a kohen can eat it. But the value, until they prove that he's not a kohen, he can keep. And he does not get a part of the kochei kadashim, let's say the skins that are supposed to go to the kohenim from kochei kadashim, because he's not a kohen, ve'inotin lo kadashim, and we don't give him the bechoros and the charomim that are supposed to be given to the kohen. Ve'in motziin shalom yado, upatur min ezro avol ha'chayim v'akiva. So we don't take his own bechoros or charomim away from him. Furthermore, if he is a kohen, because maybe he's a kohen, furthermore, on the tzad that he's a kohen, he certainly doesn't have to give the matones from chulin. So he doesn't have to give away the Zerah L'chayim that gave it to a kohen. What do we do with the Bechor? As we said earlier, Bechor Yeroa Achiz Ta'ev, we let it get a mum, and then when it comes to the Nechot, Notim Alav Chumrei Kohanim V'Chumrei Yisraelim, as we said in the previous Mishnah. Yushneim Kohanim, let's say that both of the husbands of this woman, the first, the Ben Tisha, the second, the Ben Chiv, were both Kohanim. Who, so therefore he, the Suffolk, now, his only Suffolk is which one is his father. This is nogea because a kohen whose father dies that day is not allowed to do avoda, and therefore who onen aleihem? Onenim alav. If either one of the husbands dies, and the suffolk on that day is not allowed to eat kachim, and certainly the do avoda, both husbands, if he dies, also have to act as onenim because he may be their sons, and we're machmer bitzad ha-suffolk and anisodi raisa. And if they die, because we don't know whose son he is, so he can't be matamim. If he dies, they're not matamim, they don't know whether he's a son or a stranger. And furthermore, if the first husband, the second husband dies, he cannot be yorish them, because the other yorishim are going to demand the yorusha and say, prove that you're a yorish and I will give you a piece. Avalheim, mashenkin, the fathers, since they're the ones who are in line, they split the money in Yarshimoto. Because one of them is definitely the father, so it's Maman Amuto Basafik. The din is Maman Amuto Basafik between two people. They split it, because we don't know whose son he is. Upatura Makatova Kilato Shel Zev Shel Zev. He hits one of them or curses one of them, he's Potter, because since we don't know that he is the son, we can't be Manish him. And furthermore, Ole Bimishmaro Shel Zev Shel Zev. This guy could come to do avoda in the Beis Hamikdash in either one of the mishmarot of the father, but ain't a cholek. He cannot, however, get a part of what the mishmar gets from the kachim that they're working, because each mishmar will say, excuse me, maybe you belong to the other mishmar. But if both parents were working anyway in the same mishmar, then noter chelek echad, then not only can do avoda, but he can also take one chelek, only one, of course, because he certainly doesn't get the rights to both parents, but he gets one chelek of this mishmar. Now, the inyan of this mishmar is that the kohanim were split into 24 mishmarot. Those 24 mishmarot, each one was split into 6 batei av. Each one of them, each mishmar took 1 week at a time, so that over the course of a year there were 2 weeks. And each beit av within the mishmar took one of the days. The Gemara is later going to ask, how can he take if he can't prove what beit avis is? Because the same problem we had the mishmar saying, maybe you belong to another mishmar. I'll have what the beit av we're going to discuss later. And in this case, since he doesn't know what mishmar he belongs to, he is therefore, in order to do avoda, he can do avoda, but he cannot take that which we was over. We're going to make this clearer as we go on here through the circuit. Says the Gemara. It says in the Mishnah that if he has achin men harishonim men hasheni that are not from the same mother, one does chalitz and one does yibum. Now, that means you have to first do chalitz and then yibum, of course, but yibum bereisha lo, tekapag v'yavam l'shuk. We always have to make sure that we take care of the problem of yavam l'shuk, as we've seen in all the past Mishnayot. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says, well, there's another issue that we have to consider. Let's say that we had 10 kohanim that are standing. One of them goes and sleeps with a woman who's passing by and impregnates her. And now, we're not sure which one of the 10 kohanim did that, but we definitely know that the Vlad is a kohen, right? No, but in fact, the Vlad is a shtuki. Now, when you say shtuki, shtuki means the mother, whenever the kid asks, so who's daddy? She says, shh. So my shtuki, I mean, certainly doesn't mean shtuki in the sense of the normal shtuki is asr to be balaka. And over here we know for a fact he's the son of a perfectly good kosher Jew. He was a Kohen who slept with a woman who was a penuya. She wasn't married to anybody. So he should be kosher. So in what sense is Shmuel saying he's a shtuki? Does it mean that if he tries to get a Yerusha from his father, we say, sorry kid, go prove it's your father? I mean, Pshita, obviously. What do you mean his father? We have no idea who his father is. We certainly can't let somebody get a Yerusha from his Suffolk of Mominus. Eli must mean, that because he cannot identify his father, he cannot do the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, even though he's kosher and can marry a kosher woman. My time, what would possibly be the reason for this? Because Omar Krav Aita Lo Lazaro Acharav, the Brit Kunat Olam is given to Aaron, to him and his sons that come after him, which is Be'inan Zaro Miuchas Acharav, only those sons who are coming after him who are Miuchasim to him, and they know how they get back to Aaron, they are the ones who are given the Kuna Valeka. And in this case, he doesn't have that, doesn't fit the rules. Maskev L'Rav Papa, so Rav Papa said, well, by that standard, L'Me'ata, now that you're reading that Pasuk, that I tell Lozaroach Harav, because that's referring to Pinchas, Brit Kunat Olam. So therefore, Gabe Avraham, you could say the same thing. Avraham Avinu was told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to be Liot Lecha L'Elohim L'Zaracha Echarecha. So that means, Lechora, that anybody who doesn't have a clear Yichus back to Avraham Avinu and know who his father was and who that father was and there, how are you going to understand that? What exactly is by Yisrael is it coming to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Elohim for someone who is not Zaracha Acharecha, that is Miyuchad B'Zaracha? I mean, he's certainly, because you're certainly not canceling him out of Klal Yisrael now, are you? And says the Gemara, what Hashem was saying to Avram Avinu was Lotintzav Ovedes Kochavim V'Shivcha Delolez Zaracha Batra. But Hashem was telling Avram, make sure that your children do not marry an Ovi Kechovim or a Shivcha, because we want Zaracha Acharecha. And this is a remiss to him that if indeed you will take a Shivcha or a Nochris, so then it would mean that the Zerah would be Miuchas after her, not after him. It's very interesting. The Mashra asked, so then what was the heter for Avram to marry Hagar, who was a Shivcha, so a Keturah? So, okay, he says, he gives his terutzim, there's other terutzim, there's a lot of questions here about a mitzvah, that's a surat shlosh and doros and so on. But anyway, it's an interesting sugya, if this is meant to be taken literally as a special iser that was given to, already at the time of Avram Avinu, to make sure that there was no intermarriage already from the time of Avram, not even before Kabbalat HaTorah. So now the Gemara has another kasha on Shmuel, which says that a kohen that's not meyuchas with ben achar ben is possible for the aveid. Meisvei. We have a brayson that discusses a kohen who dies without banim, and his wife now falls to yibum in front of his brothers. His wife, however, didn't wait 3 months to see whether she was pregnant. Went ahead and was miyabim right away. So now the vlad is a suffix, whether it's the child of this kohen or the child maybe of the yavam. So the rishon, we said before, the rishon ruhi liot kohen gadol, even though he's not meyuchas, he could be a kohen gadol. We don't need to know whether he's the son of the first one or the son of the second one. Obviously, the second one, it could be a shayla of his being the son of the second one where there was a first one's iser. So there we get into a problem. But the first one definitely now is a kohen gadol. The second one may be the son of an erva. So there's the problem of a mamzer. But the first one is kosher to be a kohen gadol. So now, according to the Shmuel, how could it be kosher to be a kohen gadol? I thought Shmuel said, don't you need to know whose child it is? Answer Shmuel, Zara Miyuchas Acharecha. This whole din is a drabbanan. The pasuk that we darshan before about the Zaracha Acharecha, that's only that's machta b'yalma. The Chigoz Rabbanan, when the Rabbanan make the gzeir that only a ben Miyuchas can do the Aveda, that's only in a case of Znus, where literally, like the case of the Ten Kohanim, where one of them just went and grabbed the girl that was passing by. But Benisuin, we're talking about the Yibum, that was just didn't wait the 3 months. And it was done B'derech Misuin, B'derech Hechsho, over there, Logos Rabbanan. And they left it on the Diorites, and therefore he is indeed right to be a Kohen Gadol. Asked the Gemara, but even if Shmuel's talking about Biznus, Migoz a Rabbanan, did the Rabbanan in fact give a Gzera Biznus? Vatzlan, Mi Shalosh Atach, Arba Allah, Shloshach, Adashim, Vinisait, Vialda. In the Mishnah, it talks about a case of somebody who didn't wait for 3 months, went ahead and had a child. Now, when it says Achar Ba'alak, what is it referring to? Is it referring to after the death of her husband? Ilema Achar Mitat Ba'alak, that she went in and she got married to another person. Well, then look at the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if both of them were Kohanim, both husbands were Kohanim, Hu Onin Aleihem, Vehin Onanim Alav. Now, this is an interesting case. The suffix is an onen when either parent dies, the first father, the second father, mitzad a suffix, and he's not allowed to eat kachim. And the first father and the second father, if he dies, are onenim alav in the event that he dies and they want to eat kachim, they can't. Abishlema. I understand the part that says he is an onen on them. That's, we can figure out a case where mashkacha, so the case would be, where the suffix could be an onen on both parents. It could be talking about Benisuin Desheni, that after now, the second one went ahead. She marries the second one, and the suffix is born. Now, the second one, the second husband dies, so now, of course, he's Chayimidin Onen. And it could be talking about, even though we said over here she didn't wait Achabala who died, but it could still be an Onen, because it could be talking about Likudat Samot Tekama. It could be talking about that he's an Onen on the Rishon, even though the Rishon had died a long time ago and she was an Almana from him. But in a case where we move the grave, there's a din of Aninus for that day. So on the Likudat Samot, the first one it could be referring to, he needs to be an Onen, can't eat Kachem on that day. The problem is the next piece when it says Ela Heim Onanim Alav, they both would be Onanim on him, which would mean that obviously they're both alive. If one of them died, how could they both be Onanim on him? If she didn't wait after the death of her husband, so how could her dead husband be an Onanim on him? Echim Ashkachasla. I mean, Kama Hamisla. I thought you said the first husband is long gone. The Ela, what's it talking about? We have to say that it's talking about she didn't wait after Gerishin. Begrusha, so her first husband gave her a get. She went and got married to somebody else without waiting 3 months. Umai, and how do we explain the words that it doesn't say achar bala? It doesn't mean after her husband's death, it means achar get bala. She didn't wait 3 months after her husband gave her a get. But if that's the case, how do we understand the next piece? Ema seifa. Hu ena matami lahem, vehin ena matamim lo. Now, it says there, they are not matami to him, he is not matami to them, to bury them, they're not matamit to him. Okay, now, bishlem heina matamim lo. We understand why they can't be matamit to him, because that's a chumrah. The kol chad v'chad dim alav brehu. Each one of them says, look, I don't know if this is my son, I can't be matamit to him. But when it says, hu heina matamit lehem, he cannot be matamit to the fathers. Why is that? Bishlem ala sheni la ditme. I understand why the second one he can't be matamit to. Because maybe he's the son of the first one, and if that's the case, he's a kosher Kohen, because his mother wasn't divorced at the time that he was born. But why in the world should he not be matami to the first one, Mamonavshach? If he's the son of the first one, Brehir Shapaka matami, then he's supposed to be matami to a dead father. And if he's not related to the first one, he's in fact the son of the second Kohen, but that means that the second Kohen went in and married a Grusha, and he is a Cholol, so then Ibar Batra, who if he's the son of the second Kohen, Shapaka Matamile, he is doing exactly the right thing in being Matami, because he's not even a Kohen Kosher, he's a Cholol. And a Cholol is mut to be Matami anyway. And therefore, how in the world would we understand the Mishnah at this point? Unless we understand it, Ela Lav Biznus. The only way to understand is that we're talking about a case in which, when it says that she didn't wait, what it's talking about, that while she was unmarried, the first one had slept with her as Biznus, without there being any marriage, and then the second one slept with her now, as well, and there's no din of becoming a cholol when somebody sleeps. We don't paskin like Rebbe Lazar holds that any casual sexual relationship creates a zonah. We pass it like the Chachomim, that the Zona does not come from, only comes from an Isser. So over here, there's no problem of his being Osir as a Kohen. And when it says umayachar ba'Allah, after her husband, I thought there was no husband, and what it really means is achar ba'Allah, after the one who had slept with her. V'katani seifa, but note that it does say in the end of the Mishnah, olah b'mishmah shalzeh v'shalzeh, he is allowed to work in both mishmoros, which according to Shmuel makes no sense, because he doesn't know who his father is, and it's, here it's the case, it's noz, v'tiyuvta to Shmuel. This seems to say that Shmuel is completely wrong. There is no such halacha of requiring a kohen who is miyuchas, even if the lack of yichus came because of sleeping around casually. Omer of Shmaya, Rav Shmaya wants to give an answer for Shmuel. We could be talking about, in our Mishnah, in a case where we met in us, we had a child, a ketana, whose brother or mother, she had no father, her brother or mother married her off. That's a kedushim derabbanan. And therefore, if she decides at one point, before she grows up, she doesn't like her husband, she could simply annul the wedding by saying, I don't want him anymore. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. She was married to the first guy. She went out and was Mima Enespo. She got married to the second guy, so there was no chalalut, because after me and there's no chalal, there's nothing wrong, it was annulled. And she's not a grusha. And therefore, the child that is born is a Safek Menarisha, Safek Menarsheni. And all of these things follow without getting into the questions of Znus. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? If she's a Mima Enes, she's a Ketana. How could she have a child? Mima Enes Mika Yalda? How could she have had a child? Did we not make it clear earlier? We said, Ratani Rav Bevi, Kamei Rav Nachman, Shalosh Lashim Misham Shod B'moch. There's three women who are supposed to use contraceptives to make sure that they don't get pregnant, or who are permitted to use contraceptives to make sure they don't get pregnant. Remember, this was a machlok, it's a very big machlok, as we've shown, and we spoke about it earlier in great detail. Whether it's a chiyuv to use contraceptives or a hetter to use contraceptives, you're allowed to be semech and shemir, semech and shemir if you wish. And these three women are ketana, mu'uberet, u'minika. So a ketana who is too young to tolerate a pregnancy, she should use contraceptives, shema titaber v'tamut, we're afraid she'll become pregnant and die. Mu'uberet, if she's already pregnant, shema ta'aseu brasandal. A woman who's pregnant should not take a chance on perhaps getting pregnant once again, because in that case there may be damage to the existing fetus as the second fetus grows. And there's all kinds of weird cases. There was one weird case recently where one fetus had actually engulfed the other fetus, and some 35 years later the male that had been born was pregnant with the other fetus that had been growing inside of him and attached to his abdomen. They thought he had, it was in this little village in India, they thought he had some kind of enormous tumor. And when they finally got around to operating it, after he couldn't even walk anymore, he was so big, pieces of the other uber came out. Really sicko. Woo-hoo-hoo. This is on YouTube if you're interested. In any event, the case here is of the Nuberas, and then there's a case of a woman who's nursing, Minika, or afraid she'll get pregnant, and she'll lose her milk, Shematig Malad Binah, which exposes the child to danger. The Amut, and the child could end up dying, because he can't have his mother's milk. And when it says over here, Ketana uses contraceptives, what is it referring to? It continues the Braisa, Ezoi Ketana, Mibat Achadasre Shanav Yom Echad, Batasir, Bat Shtemisre Shanav Yom Echad, in her 12th year, less than that, Pachot Mikan, younger than that, we're not afraid she's going to get pregnant at all. Yeter al kein, and beyond that, mishameshet kedakav olechet, she doesn't require contraceptives because she can handle the pregnancy. Devei Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Chachomim said, achatzu v'achatzun, mishameshet kedakav olechet, u'min hashamayim yirachamu shinam hashem r'psoim hashem. The Chachomim say, doesn't matter what the case is, she's either, again, depending on what sheet you hold, she's allowed to not use contraceptives, or according to the other Shita, she mustn't use contraceptives because she should rely on Shem Rebsayim Hashem, God protects the innocent. Don't sound too innocent to me. Answers the Gemara, nonetheless, we could have a case of a Mimaenes who get pregnant. Mashkachas law, not literally a Mimaenes, but Mashkachas law, because ta'ut. Let's say they made it similar to a Mimaenes, was what we mean. We mean a case where there was a condition in the Kedushin which then annuls the marriage. So the condition wasn't kept. Let's say they made a t'nai in the condition. The t'nai wasn't kept, in which case she's annulled. She doesn't even get, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about. She went ahead and got married to a kohen with a kedushe toes, that it ended up she was supposed to have a BA. She never got her BA. The thing was brought, she didn't wait 3 months. Went ahead and got married to another Kohen. Now the Suffolk was born, and in this case, the din of the Mishnah, who onenu lehem and onenu lav, makes perfectly good sense, and it's not talking about a case of znus, therefore he can go to the Mishmar and be oved, because even though it's kedushei tos, that's not called znus, because after all, it was through nisuin, and we said the Rabbanan Aaron goes there, and that works out perfectly well, and this goes according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Yishmol, v'hi lo nitfasa. It says in the parasha of Seita, that in a case where a woman wasn't raped, but had actually been willingly been mizana, asura, then she would be asura labala, ha nitfasa mutaris. But if she had been grabbed, or she was raped, she would be then mutaris. But it says vehilo nitfasa, which implies that there's another case in which, even so, even if she hadn't been nitfasa, she would be mutaris. That would be referring to a woman whose kedusha was kedusha tos, that over there, even though she went ahead and she slept with somebody else, and it turns out that retroactively the marriage was annulled, and at the time that she was sleeping with this guy, she wasn't even married, because it now turns out that the original kedusha that we thought she was married with was a mistake, it was on condition, and therefore she's muteret to that guy. And afilu, even if she's got the child from that guy on her back, she can still be mima'enet veholechet la. She can still walk away with, it doesn't literally mean a miyun, as the Ritva explains over here. She doesn't really need to be mima'enes, because the condition anyway pop off all on their own, because the condition was not fulfilled. But there are cases in which she would need to actually say, let's say the condition was the t'nai was that if such and such a t'nai is not mekuyim, then you can object to this condition. So therefore we include that too. So there should be manas v'lechatlan. That would explain the case over here.